Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Star Dish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to a special edition of Star Dish Radio. Tonight, today is Wednesday, February 23rd, 2010. I'm your host, Joanne. The phone number to call in here is 347-945-5423. So don't be shy. Once we get going, call in and definitely participate with the guests and the other people in the chat room as well. For guests that are in the chat room and are not registered, you're required to register to participate in any chat going on. So take a few minutes, go do it. It's free. And like I said, it takes a few minutes. So go take care of that. A reminder for after the show, I'm doing a doubleheader tonight at 9:30 p.m. The fabulous Laura Bonarigo, who plays Cassie on One Life to Live, will be with me. She's bringing on her friend Dr. Barry Goldstein, and they're going to be talking about some causes that they are working on together, as well as her return to Landview, Pennsylvania, and we'll see how long that is going to last. We have a lot of shows coming up this week, and I encourage everybody to go to stardishradio.net to take a listen, take a look, rather, and see who's on the calendar. I actually have, oh, gosh, can you believe Tom Bosley? Mr. Friggin' Cunningham is going to be chatting it up with us about his days on Happy Days and his career in the entertainment industry, his long-term friendship with Paul Newman, and many more to come. From General Hospital, Ronnie Marmo will be stopping by, and we'll be talking about what's on the canvas for him as Detective Ronnie, and this whole Dante Falconeri storyline with Dominic Zampagna. So that's going to be exciting. We have Tana Frederick and so many more. So please check out stardishradio.net for more information on that. I'm just waiting for my guest to call in. Just give me a couple seconds here. She should be here any minute. We're no stranger to her. She's been entertaining us for nearly 21 years on All My Children, and it's going to be fabulous to have her back on the show. This is her second time. Hi to everybody in the chat room. Buzzworthy's in there, as well as Drew Garrett Love. Lil Bear is in there. Hi, how you doing, sweetie? You haven't been around in a while. We've got Rod Love Silks, which is my guy Rodney, which I'm so happy to see that he's here. And chat room will fill up. And as soon as Jill comes on, we will be talking to her. You know, I'm going to bring on Tony real quick. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Joanne. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine now, but boy, I'll tell you, the last couple of days I've had a bout with stomach flu you will never believe.
Really? I was wondering what happened to you yesterday when we had the lovely Miss Shannon Kane on.
I was just so bad. I couldn't call, and I fell asleep, and I ended up missing the interview, so I wanted to tell her how much, you know, about not only the move from All My Children moving to L.A., but also to her role on this new movie that's coming out next Friday, to be exact, the Rooker's Finest movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to tell you, how was it like to be have the same byline as four of the top leading men in Hollywood?
You know what? She actually plays Richard Gere's love interest. So if
really?
That tells you something, yes, she does. If you look at the trailer, she plays Richard Gere's love interest. So that is like a big deal for a very green actress who has never acted before. She got that job before All My Children.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Oh. That's right. Yeah, that's right. And it's going to be a hot movie. I think this is going to be a good movie, a hot movie that's going to probably – yeah, box office smash. Who knows?
Well, she also won Breakthrough Actress at the Capri Festival, so it's for that role. So it's pretty impressive for someone that, you know, she of her age and of little experience that she actually has in acting to win something like that. She did say that she beat out many mainstream actresses for that movie role.
Wow. Wow.
So that's
great.
It is, and I can't wait to see, you know, what her acting chops are like on the big screen versus the daytime drama. So hopefully we'll get to chat with her about that after it all comes out and about. Like I said, just waiting for Jill Larson to call in. Tony, I'm going to put you back on hold for just a second.
Okay.
She should be with me any minute. I have a caller here that I'm going to pick up, and is, gosh, I love the joys of live radio. Caller, what's your name?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Kelly Ripa calling.
Hi, Kelly Ripa. My surprise is completely out of the box because Jill is late calling in.
That's okay. She can surprise me with her call.
This is hysterical. Kelly, thank you so much for participating in this. It's such
of
a joy
course.
To have you.
Oh, my gosh, it's my privilege.
Oh, gosh, I tell you, when I watched you on the show last week and you did not know who Jill was in that trailer,
well,
I was screaming at the TV. I was like, Kelly, it's Jill. Gosh, it's Jill. Don't you know? And then you came back.
Can I tell you, you're not alone because, first of all, everyone on Twitter was screaming into Twitter saying, it's Jill Larson, you fool. And all of my producers were saying, what's wrong with you? It's Jill Larson, your friend. And even my husband said, sweetheart, that lady is Jill Larson. And I said, there is no way that scary, frightening lady is my beautiful Jill Larson. There's just no way. And I always underestimate what kind of an amazing actress she is because she makes it look easy. She's like an Olympic skater. She's like that skater from Korea right now who makes it look so easy. And that's who she is.
Jill is, and she's been here before. She was on the show back in 2008, and she was just a joy, and then I actually got to meet her not too long after that, and she is a pleasure. And when I found out she was doing this role, I couldn't help but have her on, and then it was just so funny that you were talking about it. I thought this would be like the best surprise. I pulled off the best punk on Robin Strasser a couple weeks earlier with Nathan Fillion, because he played her love interest, Joe.
Of course, I used One Life to Live was my soap all growing up, so.
Well, I pulled that one off, and I said, oh, I think I'm going to try this with Kelly and Jill and see where it is. No, I don't know where Jill is. I have people calling her, so hopefully she'll be calling in any minute.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I wonder if she's working at, do you know if she's on All My Children tonight?
No. She, I spoke to her. Cause
she's here in New York, right?
She's in New York. She originally had it set up for Tuesday, and then she emailed me and asked me to change it to Wednesday. So I said, okay, you know, so I changed it, and I was glad that you were still able to do it. And I sent her a reminder earlier. So I have someone calling her now, so she should be calling in. She was, you know, it wouldn't be like her not to call in. So
we actually just got back from my son's birthday party, so it was actually the perfect time because he this is our first, he's seven, this is his seventh birthday, and this is his first presents party. We usually have a no presents party, and this is his first year getting birthday presents, so he was so excited to get them and play with them, and I don't know why we
did
that. Huh?
What did he get?
He got a skateboard, he got a skateboard helmet, he got skateboard pads, you know, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, so that's right. You did say you were going to let him ride around in the lobby on the skateboard.
Yeah,
I agree with you there.
He really wanted a skateboard. And, you know, it's funny, with the third kid, you have so much stuff already. So mm-hmm. With him, he's not a big kid on the into parties and all of that, but this year he sort of asked for it. He said, can I have a birthday party? Can maybe I have presents? And I was like, whatever you want. He asked for so little. So it worked out that I knew that he would be occupied playing with his new skateboard. So I was like, sure, I can do a radio interview. He's skating around the living room.
Oh, gosh, that's hysterical. Seven is a fabulous age. I mean, well, you know, because you have the older one, too, but I have two. One is 9 and one is 17. There's a big age difference there.
Oh,
but,
wow. Yeah, wow. Yeah. I have three, so I have 12. Michael is, I think, 6 months younger than Annie Ming, Jill's daughter, and then I have Lola, who's 8, and Joaquin, who's 7 today. So I have both spectrums. You know, I have Michael, who is 6 years older than Joaquin, and I have Lola, mm-hmm. who's a year older than Joaquin, and definitely Michael and Joaquin play much better than Lola and Joaquin.
Oh, really?
Because they're just too close in age, I think.
Yeah. I think so. Too. Well, you know, now that he's 17, my oldest, and Tyler is 9 now, they get along better. But when he was younger, it wasn't. It was like, oh, this kid is following me again, you know. But
right.
Now it's definitely better. They're into the same things. And honestly, I was really nervous about this, you calling in, because I have to say, I feel a little starstruck because I've been a fan of Haley since day one. and I was Haley, okay?
You know what's so funny is that everybody keeps tweeting me and sending faxes into work about the American Idol contestant named Haley Wan.
Yes.
And they're saying, do you think she's named after your character? And I said, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if she's named after my character. She's old enough to be named after my character for sure, because that was 1990.
Yes, she is, definitely. And when I saw Haley Vaughn, I started cracking up. I said, that's a name. I mean, if her last name is Vaughn, naturally, okay, her mother definitely named her Haley for a reason.
Hold on one second. I'm so sorry. Hold on.
That's all right. Guys, just so you know, in the chat room, still waiting for Jill Larson to call in, but Kelly Ripa is actually on the phone with us.
I'm back, just so you know.
Okay.
Sorry.
Just letting everybody in the chat room know that, you know, we're still waiting on Jill to call in. Wow, this has, like, never happened. And
that's
I'm
okay.
Like,
what kind of show is this? Is this, like, do you take internet?
It's all done on the internet.
Oh, my
and
God, that's incredible.
It's pretty awesome. I started this show 2 years ago. 2 years, April 1st it'll be, that I'm doing it 2 years. I followed in the footsteps of other people off of this network. It's called Blog Talk Network.
Uh-huh.
And it's a live internet show, or you can do pre-taped if you want, but I like live better. You know,
live is the best.
I think so. I really rarely ever do a taped piece unless I'm going to have like a bunch of guests on and just do like little interviews here and there. But I started it years ago. Long story short, when I was 32, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh, my gosh.
And had me get into the internet back then to keep me occupied. So I went from 32 to 35 with chemo and then eventually a bone marrow transplant. And so I got really into the internet, and I stumbled across MySpace, and I got on that, and then I found this show, Buzzworthy Radio, which was on Blog Talk Network. Mm-hmm. I went to school for broadcasting, so I figured maybe this is something I could do while, you know, I'm doing my hospital things and whatever. And I followed suit, and I catered to soap fans mainly at first, because soap actors are so loyal to their fans as their fans are loyal to the actors. And I felt that it was just a great way to get people to connect with their fans and vice versa in a different way, you know, those that can't get out to events and stuff like that. And I've been doing it 2 years now, and I think I interviewed almost everybody in ABC daytime with the exception
wow.
of Susan Lucci. You
oh,
know?
You're
and
kidding. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
So
you know,
she's the last holdout.
You know, it's funny because a lot of them are very internet shy, and they don't
let me tell you what it is, and I think I understand it now, because I sort of I'm so new to the internet. I'm really just getting into it, and I got into it through Twitter, and I sort of realized that I went from never looking into the camera with my mm-hmm. acting gigs to suddenly being asked to directly look into the camera and to be myself and to talk to the audience. And sometimes it's not easy it's not easy to do that. It's not easy to know what people think about you or in the case of your character, which you defend so much. You defend your character with so much more of veracity than you do yourself. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like when people say horrible things about me, it doesn't, you know, I can engage in it and I can debate it and I can say I disagree or whatever. But if people said something about Haley, I took it personally. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I took it to mean something about my craft or my ability to play my character. You know what I mean? Whereas if they say something about me, I go, well, let's just disagree. Let's agree to disagree. And I think that's what it is. A lot of people are afraid of the internet because they're afraid of what they may say.
You know, I agree with you. Yeah, you know, I agree with you. But I think that it's kind of time now. You know, we are, and I'll definitely cater to anybody's schedule or anybody's request. I mean, if I asked for an interview with you and you said, Joanne, I don't want to do it unless it's taped, I would definitely do that. You know, this way, you know, God forbid you said something that you didn't want nobody to hear or whatever. I would definitely do that. And I make everybody know that. And so, you know, it is what it is. And if they ever want to come around, I'm always here, and I never turn anybody away. I end up getting requests now to have authors on, people that I've never even heard of, people never even heard of. And I'm like, yeah, bring them on. You know, no big deal.
Well, fascinating. I mean, the way the entertainment industry is changing to me is so interesting. You know, I mean, it's changed so much. When I joined All My Children, the internet was a brand new thing, and nobody really thought that it would take off, and certainly nobody thought that it would be a player in the industry the way it is now. And you never really wanted to address it unless it was to punish yourself, you know, because you would go on a chat room and go, oh, my God, everybody hates my character, or, oh, my gosh, everybody hates my hair, or, oh, my gosh. Now it's like there's social networking. It's a way to connect with other parents. It's a way to connect. I mean, my son does his homework online. They don't have regular homework assignments anymore.
Really?
You know, his homework is assigned on the computer, so he has to log on with his flash drive, and his teacher has placed his assignments online. So it's a whole new, you know, it's so different now.
I think that's great, and I think that I wish my kids' school was like that. But, you know, we moved from – I'm from Yonkers, okay, and then I moved to Florida, and the Florida schools were a little bit more up-to-date because a lot of them are so new because of all the new construction. We were in Fort Lauderdale for 13 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but then I relocated. I hated it. I hated the heat. I know you love the heat, but I couldn't
I love the
stand
heat.
It.
I could be in 100 degrees
all
day,
you know,
every day.
Before cancer, I probably could agree with you, but
after
it, I couldn't deal with it because it made me go into menopause by the time I was 34.
Right.
So I was having hot flashes like you couldn't stand. My air conditioner was set at 52 degrees all the time in Florida.
Right.
So I couldn't wait to get out of there. So where did I move? I moved back to New York, but I moved to Buffalo.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, my God. Are you just sitting in a snow pile?
You know what? It's not that bad up here. To me, it's no different than living in Yonkers. Really, it isn't.
Right.
We're supposed to be getting a snowstorm for you guys,
I know.
You know, tonight.
I
so,
know.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
my
know.
God.
So I couldn't stand the heat. I completely forgot what the hell I was talking about now, but I'm just so excited. But
this is my gift. I take people off topic.
But you know what? That's the best thing about this show, and that is what I love about Star Dish and the live part, because it's so informal. So people just can come on and be themselves and talk about whatever they want. It's just by the time you leave here, Kelly, you're going to think we're BFFs, okay?
I believe me, I already felt that we were, or I wouldn't have called in.
Oh, you're so sweet. I've had your former flame on All My Children on my show at least three or four times, Mr. Matthew Borlenghi.
Oh, my gosh. You know, he just had twins.
Yes, he did.
Baby boys.
Yes, and he said they're very loud. I said, yes, aren't they?
You know, he said to me, I don't know. He sent me a text and said, I don't know how you did it with three kids. And I said, we had ours one at a time. So I think that twins really throws a monkey wrench in the whole operation because you know you're so worried over one, and when you have more than one, it's just double and triple and quadruple the worry, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you watch The View or if you can watch The View, if you have time to watch The View.
I saw the Octomom.
My God.
Oh, my gosh. It's just riveting, isn't it?
Really? I mean, I couldn't stop laughing. I mean, Barbara Walters and Whoopi Goldberg looked so mortified. They didn't know what to do with themselves.
I just sort of said to myself, you know, I mean, I know that Mark and I, parent-teacher conferences always seem to come up on the same day or the same time, and you know, or the parent bake sale or whatever it is. And I said to myself, what's she going to do on parent-teacher conference week? Is she just going to be there for, is she going to move into the school?
I'm serious.
You know, because I feel like when it's our kids, we have three kids at the same school, and when it's parent-teacher conference week, I feel like I live there, you know?
Yes.
But I really don't. It's 3 days. It's a half an hour out of my day, but it's three half an hours at different times on different days. But if I had all of those kids, I mean, I'm trying to picture it in my mind.
But what I couldn't understand, and I don't even think she really understood. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg made that question about mental illness, and she, that laugh, oh, my God, that laugh. It was like a knee-jerk reaction. It was almost like to escape the questions.
Yeah.
And really, how are you going to support all those kids, especially as a single mother today? I'm a single mother of two. I could never imagine being a single mother of all those kids. I think I'd, like, go start my car and sit in the driveway.
I mean, it really, it's very difficult. It's unimaginable. You can't really, I mean, I never judge anybody because everybody has, like, a different tolerance and breaking point and organizational skills. But that, to me, I have to say it, it seems daunting. It seems insurmountable. There's got to be a great staff or a great support system somewhere. Somewhere there has to be. So my first question, when she walked out, my first question was, where are the kids? Who is with the kids? You know,
ask that?
Huh?
Did anybody even ask her that?
Nobody asked that, but I asked it to the television myself.
Yeah.
I sort of in my dressing room, I was in a fitting and I was standing there and I said, where are the kids? Who's with the kids? Who's with the kids? Because I think the first, you know, six or eight that she has are in school, so I know where they are. But who's with the other kids?
Yeah, but I mean, even if they're in school, somebody still has to be watching them. She doesn't live in New York. She had to fly to get to The View.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, and again, it's not a judgment. I just sort of, because, and I'm sure people look at me or you and say, where are your kids right now? Like, my kids right now are getting into bed, and they're sort of wandering around me, and my daughter wants me to, she has a palate expander, so I have to go expand her palate right now, and so I'm like, I'm running out of time, but I'm here in the house with my kids, you know, I've just locked myself into the bedroom, but, you know, it's one of those things where whenever you see somebody, like, you know, when you see a movie star, and they had to go to London to shoot the movie for 6 weeks, you go, where were the kids?
And
it's a knee-jerk reaction, I think, from all mothers, not so much fathers, because men have been expected to travel for work far longer than women. It's just the way it is. But I think women, we tend to go, where are the kids?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I have a
guest in my chat room who has two questions for you, and they think this is so cool because, you know, now this is just turning into a chat with us. I don't know what happened to Jill.
That's okay.
I have people calling her and everything's going straight to voicemail, so I have no idea what happened. I was told that AMC had a press day today, so I don't know if that interfered or not.
Oh, you never know. Yeah, you never know.
So I don't know. So we'll see what happens. But
she's
asking if you have any advice for a first-time If any advice for a busy, new, first-time mommy, baby due in September, still having morning sickness.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh.
Long time for those.
You know, it's very funny. With my daughter, with my sons, I had no morning sickness. And I'm not trying to predict the sex of the baby. But with my daughter, I had morning sickness the entire time. And the only thing that really made me feel great was I had a lot of citrus, and I had I would get fresh ginger and mm-hmm. boil it in hot water and have ginger tea all the time. And it's the only thing that really sort of settled my stomach, just fresh ginger. Not like a powdered ginger, not like candied ginger. I would get a ginger root and mm-hmm. and shave it with like the cheese grater into mm-hmm. boiling water and pour it and drink it. And it was the only thing that really helped me, really.
But
morning sickness is one of those
old.
Things. Huh?
38 years old, she's writing in, and she's tired all the time. Wow, yeah. You know, that's 38 having your first baby. You'd definitely be tired all the time.
Oh, no doubt. Well, you're tired all the time anyway. I mean, once you get pregnant, pregnancy makes you tired, and then I think that the tiredness of pregnancy is preparing you for just the tiredness that you're going to feel for the rest of your life until they marry and get out of your house.
Okay, and even maybe not then.
Right, exactly. or when they bring the husband home to move in with you. Oh, my God.
Okay. And you know something? So many people are doing that now because of the economy.
Of course.
Definitely moving back home to mom
and
dad.
I know. It's true. We're moving back. It's all we think about. I'm like, what are these kids ever going to get out of this house? And they're little, but you have to plan. You know, you just plan. You go, will there be jobs for them when they graduate? Will they have a job market?
I have my 17-year-old. He's got 1 year left in high school, and I worry daily about that, and we talk about it daily, and it's like, what, Christian, what do you want to do? What do you think you know, because he's still like, I don't know. You know, then he's like, well, maybe sports casting because he's a real football freak, and I'm like, well, you know, you got to be prepared because things like that are just, you know, not readily available. They usually give those to the retired football players.
You have to tell him that he has to find the void in the workplace. I mean, these are the people that always sort of bust out and make a fortune, you know, the people that find that thing that isn't there.
This is true. And but he's actually talking about going into the Navy.
Listen.
I caught it.
I do, too, because my father-in-law, Regis, my father was in the Army, but Regis and my father-in-law were in the Navy, and they really found their way there. They really did.
I think it's the best thing. All of my mother's brothers were in the Navy, from her father to all her brothers. She's got 7, and I told him I think that's the best thing because not only will they get the money for education, but it's a chance of a lifetime to see the world.
Chance of a lifetime to see the world, and more importantly, it sort of sets you up in a way. I married into a military family, and my mm-hmm. father, of course, was in the military, and it just makes you a better person, organized, stronger, fastidious, just effective. You become an effective individual, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In my humble opinion, I think that I am lucky because my husband was not in the military, but he did ROTC, and his father was in the military, and so was his brother. And so I just find that it is a lifestyle that can benefit a person.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I know that I had this vision in my head of the day that you would actually do this show, and there were so many things that I wanted to talk to you about as a mom, as a working mom, working with Regis, how you got the job, and now it's like, oh, my gosh, it's all being swept out the door. But
Don't worry. Are you kidding? I mean, this is so easy for me. I can call in any time you want, really.
Because I want you back for the full thing because I have so many things that I want to talk to you about.
I will. I have to go now, though. I do have to put my kids to bed, but I will call back any time you want. You know how to reach me.
Do, and Kelly, I just want to tell you, it's the best. And please give Regis a message for me.
I
want him on the show, too.
I will tell him.
So.
He's the best. He will.
He definitely is, and give him my best, and I really appreciate you calling in. I'm sorry it didn't work out with Jill.
That's okay. We'll do it another time.
Okay.
Okay. Take care. Thank you so
thanks
much.
Thanks a lot, honey.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. Okay, guys. I'm sorry. Kelly had to go. She's got those three gorgeous kids she had to put to bed. And unfortunately, it did not work out with Jill as I planned. Ugh. I'm bringing Linda on the air. Linda, hello.
Oh, my gosh. Hello.
Hi. So it didn't work out with Jill. I don't know what happened to her. She didn't call in, and Kelly did. So I picked up Kelly to talk about, you know, just to talk until Jill called, and I had Neville make a couple calls for me, and I just couldn't get in touch with her, so my surprise went out the door. But I did get to spend 30 minutes with Kelly Ripa, who agreed to come back another time to sit and dish with the rest of us.
Unbelievable. Well, we will look forward to Jill and definitely look forward to Kelly's return.
Absolutely. But in the meantime, guys, I'm really sorry it didn't work out with Jill, and I really wish that I'm sorry, guys. Everybody's looking in the chat room, like, with the faces on. I know you hung up, but she definitely had to go. She wasn't expected to stay on more than a couple of minutes to surprise Jill, so I'm grateful for the amount of time that she did stay on with me. So this was just, like, perfect. You know, again, I'm really upset that it didn't get to – I didn't get that punk moment like I got with Robin Strasser and Nathan Fillion. But, again, 30 minutes, I'll take with Kelly Ripa. You know, so she was very sweet. And but I want you guys to understand also, you need to come back at 9:30 because the fabulous Laura Bonarigo is coming back. And we're going to talk to her about Cassie and Jill Larson just called Neville. Wow. So let's see. Okay, let me see what he's saying now. What is she going to do? Oh, wow. That's amazing to me. Isn't that great for live radio, Linda?
Oh, you know what? It doesn't get any better. Good thing that we don't have cameras in the room. That's all.
Hold on. Actually, Novella's calling in. Hold on a second. I think he's three-waying her in.
Hi.
Hi, Novella. You have Novella.
Hi, Neville. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
I think Jill is with me right now still. Jill, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, gorgeous. What happened to you?
Oh, my God. I just can't believe it. My daughter, something happened at school, and I just ran off like a chicken with my head cut off. I completely forgot. I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, don't be embarrassed.
Oh, God. It's just
we all have children, honey. You know,
it is.
Can I tell you, Jill, this morning I had a doctor's appointment and I had to drive 30 minutes to get there only to turn around and leave because I had to go get my kid, too. It happens. Listen to what you just missed. I don't know if Neville filled you in.
I did not.
Okay, well, listen, I had this whole thing planned for you when we talked about Shutter Island and the Kelly Ripa thing. I had it arranged for Kelly to call in and surprise you, so I spent I spent the last 30 minutes talking to Kelly, and she literally just hung up with me because she had to put the kids to bed.
Oh, my God, I cannot believe it. You know, that's the second time I've missed her this week. Called her after she did that incredible thing for me on
Regis.
Her show. And
I wanted to surprise you with it.
Oh, I really feel sick.
Don't be crazy. She's going to come back on, and I know she'll probably call you. No worries at all. I'm just glad that you're here.
I'm sure that there could have been no one better to fill in for me than Kelly. My God, isn't she just plain brilliant? I watched that show, and I just can't get over how extraordinary she is. Her quick wit and her generous heart. She is so kind to everyone.
It's
I know. She is incredible.
Yeah, she is. Truly.
Well,
but I always knew that.
This is my first time talking to her, so I was really excited, and I was a little like, because she wasn't really going to stay on for more than a couple minutes, but to talk to you, you know.
Oh,
we're
going to
do this whole little
spoof
to the Shutter Island. I had this whole thing split. I was like, oh, I'm going to ring the phone and say, oh, Jill, I have someone that wants to talk to you. But, my gosh. But she'll probably call you, or you call her. I know, so don't even worry about it. But
you,
it was a pleasure to her.
A great thing. Oh, that was so great. What a clever idea. How really smart of you, you know?
For the people that I admire, darling, and you are one of them.
Oh, gosh. I'm just going to go and give myself 40 lashes with the wet noodle, all right, because I just feel horrible.
Oh my God.
I can't believe it.
So funny. Oh, my gosh. Well,
this is I have to make lists all the time, you know.
Right.
I have to always make lists because otherwise, I'm afraid if I take two steps, I will forget what was on my mind or what I was supposed to do next, you know. And that's what happens. One thing gets me dragged off my course, and I'm dead.
You know, that's the life that we live in. So don't even stress over it. You're here. We got 20 minutes remaining, but you can still come back for another show, and we'll sit and chit.
Right.
So that's no big deal. No big deal, darling. Take care of your daughter. And
I will.
We will reschedule, and we'll get our full hour back in. And don't even worry about it.
All right. Well, whatever you say.
Okay? You want to hang out for the 20 minutes? Do you feel up to
right
chilling
now?
For 20
sure,
minutes?
Sure, yeah. Sure. I'd love to.
Well, good. Stay with us,
I'd
then.
Love
20 minutes,
all
so
right.
Chill out with us, honey. Now, let me get to, because there was so much that I wanted to talk to you about as we spoke earlier. Let's talk first about Shutter Island. Tell me how that role came to you.
Well, it's such an odd story, you know, because my agent called me one day. I've actually written a short story about it that I'm trying to get published. Because it's such a funny situation. And my agent called and he said, well, Scorsese's doing this movie up in Boston, and there's a part. It's a small part, and there's not even any words, but and it's with DiCaprio, and I'm thinking, what? And he was going to cast it up in Boston. He wanted to cast it locally, but he just didn't like anybody they brought him. And finally, because I had auditioned for him about 6 months earlier for a TV commercial that he was doing, kind of an homage to Hitchcock. And so he said, I just keep thinking of that woman from the Hitchcock tape. Let's just spend the money and bring her up here. And I said, what? Scorsese is thinking of me for a something in his movie with DiCaprio. I said, what's the role? He said, I'm sending you the script. You read it, and then tell me if you want to do it. If you don't, I'll get you out of it. I said, well, why would I not want to do something for Scorsese? Just read it, he said.
Uh-huh.
Well, so I get home, and I open the script, and I read it, and it's so compelling that I read all the way through to the very end without stopping. And I realize I'm at the end, and I haven't seen my part. What part was he talking about? And I go back to the beginning, and then I read this thing. I can't remember Teddy, the character's name, Teddy, that I assume is DiCaprio. He arrives on this island. It's all savagely overgrown, and he cuts through and makes his way through to these huge gates. They open up onto this beautifully manicured lawn and gardens and all these buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes upon a frail woman in her, I don't know, an old woman or in her late 50s or something like that, with who's nearly bald, and the word bald is in all caps, who
who is has no teeth. Teeth are big caps, and then and has a scar across her neck that is the color of old blood, but thick like ropey licorice.
Oh my gosh!
This is my part. This is the part that he thought only I could play. You know, I was so horrified. It was a Friday night, and I just walked around all weekend thinking, why me? What is it about me? You know, I mean, I thought, you know, I used to be a model. I thought I was pretty okay looking, but, you know, what is it? And in truth, you know, I mean, my agent never had any answer for me, obviously. So then a week or two later, I got a call to go up there for a fitting. And I said, well, it's just a government issue prison uniform. What kind of a fitting do I mean? Well, it's period. It's going to be custom built for you. And anyway, they have to fit the wig. I said, oh, the wig and the prosthetic scar. Ah, the scar. So I went up there and spent a whole day up there, and the people that work for him are real artisans. They are artists in their own right, and they worked on me for 3-4 hours, and it was fascinating to see and sort of watch my own transformation, And then Scorsese came and looked at me. They'd put a contact lens in one of my eyes, a big yellow bloodshot looking thing.
Right.
And then they took me to a place where he was going to come and look at me, and we waited for a long time, a couple hours. And then he was finished, and he came in, and he said, hello. I said, hello. Glad to meet you, or some feeble thing, when you're in the presence of somebody like that.
Right.
And he stepped back, and he just looked and looked and looked, and then he said, too much hair. And I thought to myself, too much hair? There's only 5 strands here.
Oh, my gosh.
And then he and the hairdresser and the makeup person all sort of circled around me, talking, conferring, discussing, I like this, both lenses, like that. Like I was a totem pole or something, And then he was off, so.
What a process.
So, I just came away feeling like this man has put this much, first of all, money, and thought and energy and time into just seeing how I'm going to look for my day of shooting, what precision and what detail. It was remarkable, just a really remarkable experience. So,
did you get to see the movie yet?
I have not seen the movie yet. No, I'm a mother.
I know
the story.
I do.
Do you have one or two children?
Two, 17 and 9.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big
gap. I know.
Yeah, it's something. But it's great, isn't it?
It is. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about, which we discussed, was the passing of not only a castmate, but a very dear friend to you, which is James Mitchell.
I hardly know what to say except that I still can't believe that it happened, I knew he was about to turn 90. I knew he had fallen and fractured his pelvis, but they said it wasn't a bad crack, and I knew that he was, he had emphysema and was very, very hard for him to breathe.
Right.
I couldn't believe that could happen, It's just,
right.
I guess he was so vivid and such a big part of my life.
that I couldn't imagine losing him. It was really, really shocking. So,
yeah. Well, did they film the memorial for him yet?
No.
With all my children?
We do that in, yeah, we're going to do it in a couple, 3 weeks, I think.
Okay.
So, but I understand that. I haven't seen it or read it, but I understand it's an especially beautiful show that Lorraine Broderick created. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I hope that she brings Daniel Kennedy back for that.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice. I don't know anything about it, so
yeah.
So I can't say, but that would be, he's a great, great kid, and he was a wonderful casting choice for that part, I thought. You know.
I thought so. He's a doll. Now,
also
losing another cast member, David Canary, is retiring.
Yeah, that's right, I know. We're hoping that he won't, you know, be gone altogether, but that we'll get him to come out from time to time and, you know, do some episodes. I don't know, but I like to think that that might be the case. You know,
I hope so,
because
I
will be,
imagine
yeah.
the show without him.
I know. He's just such a strong part of the identity of the show and has been for so long. And especially with the, you know, James was just kind of getting geared up to come back and do some more episodes and stuff. And
right.
So with the loss of him, to also have to, I think we're going to try to, you know, live without Adam Chandler. That's a lot. That's hard.
It is. I mean... I can't imagine that. I can't imagine watching the show and not seeing him every
yeah.
day. You know, so
yeah.
as well. I mean, James had been kind of on and off for a while now. I mean,
yes,
nothing.
That's
but
right.
Not having Palmer there is just like, really?
Yeah. You mean Adam, not having Adam there, yeah.
Well, both of them. Either both of them.
Yeah.
I mean, just. Know that neither one of them will be on. I mean, it's going back to even like when Myrtle passed away, you know, it was
yeah.
just like, you know, it's like you can't imagine it not being the same, you know?
That's right. And you know, that is really what is so beautiful about soap operas is
mm-hmm.
that people get to grow old together. They really are a part of your family in a way that I don't think any other show can do, you know, any other kind of show, because that longevity gives soap operas their special identity and gives them a luxury of time that should enable a story to really be explored in many different ways, and to really look into the sort of emotional responses and ramifications of an event through
mm-hmm.
the eyes of everybody in town, you know, and so then when someone like that either retires or passes on, we all experience it as a personal loss.
Oh, absolutely, you do. And the audience
yeah.
mourns with everybody, and it's
yeah.
definitely, you know. Oh, anyway, on to
yeah.
a lighter topic.
All right.
Oh, let's see. I lost my. Oh, well, what does this move to L.A. mean for Opal?
Well, I hope it means, you know, with the absence of Palmer and Adam, we are seeing a thinning at the top, Will, of characters with seniority, characters who have a long history with the show. And Opal, you know, something that I have been saying for some time, has relationships with a lot of the characters. She's like the glue. To a degree, in terms of relationships she has with so many various characters on All My Children.
And so, and I think that this is coming to be, well, they've been writing more for Opal for a while now, and
yeah,
and making use of her in some more substantial ways than they have in the past. And I've been thrilled about that, and I hope that that will continue to be the case as we settle in out in Los Angeles.
Now, are you and Annie Ming going to move to Los Angeles, or are you just going to try and do the bi-coastal thing for a while?
I will be bi-coastal, but we are looking at schools out there for her.
Okay.
I've been commuting now, and because she's still in school here in New York, and but it's sort of a lucky time. She's just finishing up eighth grade. Her school completes in eighth grade, so everyone is going on to high school. And so we just decided she'll probably be boarding, and so that will give me the ability to, be in both places. But I maintain my residence in New York.
Right, right. Well, I tell you, that was some move, and I really am glad of the new writing staff. I think it kind of re-energized everybody, even the fans, because, you know, for a while it was pretty unwatchable. And I can't say that, you know, I really didn't watch. I just started watching again, caught up when I had to, or just to see what was going on. And but I'm excited for the new team.
I can tell you that the writing is so much better and so much righter, if you will, in that it has the kind of, I think anyway, I feel like the relationships are really coming back to the surface, to the foreground, and there's a lot of soul and richness and history that I see. And the stories are very, oh, my gosh, we have some stuff coming up that, we're all just standing around with our jaws open watching it being taped. And I think that you're going to see some really wonderful storytelling, starting to air in the not-too-distant future. And
I tell you what I was excited about, and I'm sure you are as well, because she's a good friend of yours, is having Julia Barr back on the canvas.
Yes, yes. It is I was just talking with her last night, and she said, gosh, after a three-year hiatus, it takes a little while to kind of get your chops back, but
right.
She said, I'm just so enjoying this. It's just so wonderful working with David and just being back in the community of it, because we are such a family ourselves, that
right.
That is really.
I have a question from the chat room. They want to know how you took the news of the move when you first heard it.
Well, it was sort of funny because I was not on contract. So, in a way, the move didn't apply to me in a contractual way. So it wasn't, it didn't really hit me, I mean, I was distressed, as everyone was, and kind of mystified and befuddled as to how it was actually going to happen. And all I could see were reasons why it would be a bad idea, But you can't argue with the bottom line, ultimately. And especially in these days, and especially when, shows are being canceled and we are told so many times that this is a form that is too expensive to maintain and not paying for itself and so forth. I don't know what the truth is of all that, but that's always what we hear. And so there comes a time when it's kind of like, first of all, everyone was just in shock.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
and, you know, had to sort of have some privacy to deal with their own emotions and consider what it meant to them personally. But I think that ultimately we all kind of felt like, well, if we want to keep the ship afloat, we have to do this, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's just the sign of the times now, you know.
Yes.
Everybody's in survival mode right now.
That's right. That's right. Across the board. It doesn't matter what industry. My godson just graduated from William & Mary with a business degree. And, you know, he can't get a job there. You know, and then another friend of mine has been in the business for years in the financial industry. Got laid off, and it's the same situation. So I know that everybody is experiencing it. This isn't news to you or anyone, unfortunately, you know.
Right.
So it's like it feels like it's a new time for everyone, and we are now being asked to produce as much content as we always did, but in 3/4 of the time.
Wow.
And so you know, and that's the way it is for everyone. So
no, it is definitely.
So,
everybody's in survival. I mean, if you look at the networks, look at all the shows that just got pulled. Kelly Giddish just landed her own series on Fox, and they only aired 3 episodes, and it got canceled already.
Oh no!
It was pulled.
Sorry.
3 episodes, and they pulled it already. So it is across the board.
Did you see any of the episodes?
I did, and I thought that they didn't give it a chance. I think that if they would have left it alone, it would have made its way. I think that they pulled them too fast, and they don't give people a chance to actually get to know it, like it, and let it grow. You know, so I don't know. They're all worried about the bottom dollar and what's going to make them the most money. So if it's not doing so good in the first couple of episodes, they're chopping it. So, you know.
Yeah, I know. And you look back in you know, history, and, of course, I can't come up with any examples off the top of my head, but there are so many of those shows, like, you know, I don't know if All in the Family was one of them, but one of those, you know, that started out, and they had to have a whole year for it to really catch on. And then took off and was a huge, huge hit. And so you're right, but there is no opportunity for anything to have a chance to catch on or to grow now. Everyone is too scared. And if you get just one or two, you know, tweets from the audience that they don't like it, they give up.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, hello?
I said that's definitely a sad state.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Well, listen, my darling, you're going to have to come back on, and we could sit and chit-chat some
more. Oh, if you would have me again, I would be thrilled. And you know, I just really...
Listen,
Jill. I
just
can't apologize
you're a mom.
Enough. I'm so sorry.
This show is so informal, it's ridiculous. Don't even worry about it. You just think of it as calling into your friends, that's all. And everybody wants you to come back. I want you to come back. We know how to contact each other. It's a done deal.
All right. Well, very good. So I will contact you, or you contact me, and we'll look for another time, and we'll just chew the fat and talk to the fans. And I would love that. I was really looking forward to this, and I just can't believe it dropped out of my mind like that. Oh,
it's biggie.
Fine.
No biggie. Trust me. Everybody loves you, and forgiveness is in the air, my love.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and I'll have to call Kelly and thank her for taking over for me. Good Lord.
She's fabulous. Well,
yes.
Tell her I said
yes,
you too.
Yes.
The magnificent Jill Larson will be back. Jill, thank you so much again.
Oh, no problem. Thank you all for your patience and your forgiveness.
Of course, my darling.
All right.
Have a
be
good
well.
Night. Okay,
thanks,
everyone,
until
you're you're welcome. Everybody, come back at 9:30, because at 9:30, the magnificent Laura Bonarigo from One Life to Live is coming on to talk about her role on One Life to Live as Cassie, and we're going to see what's going on with her. And she's bringing on a good friend of hers, Dr. Barry Goldstein, who is going to be talking about a cause that they're both working towards a goal for. So make sure you tune in for that, 9:30. And I will see you guys in a little while, okay? Have a great time. Little 30-minute break.
This is Antonio Sabato Jr., and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Stardish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.